It's an off day, sort of, for us. It feels like, Tim, we haven't gotten a lot of these in-between days where we can kind of flesh out some other thoughts. It feels like it's been a lot of previews, a lot of recaps lately, but we finally get a chance to sort of catch our breath and dive into some other Syracuse topics here, including a new transfer quarterback coming over from Michigan. We'll talk about Dan Valeri, what he brings to the quarterback room. Also, some interesting stuff from Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish on sort of the state of Syracuse and the head coaching spot. What does the Jim Boeheim timeline look like? And what would you want right now as a Syracuse fan? We're going to dive into all of that, as well as get into some leftover thoughts as well from the Wake Forest game. All that coming up next.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome in. This is the Locked On Syracuse podcast. We thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single day. We're free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there, Locked On Syracuse. Tyler Aki, Tim Leonard, only place to be with you every single day, talking Syracuse basketball, football, recruiting, everything in between. And today's episode brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end of year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. All right, Tim, there was some interesting stuff on the Eye on College Basketball podcast hosted by Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. They talked about Jim Boeheim and sort of the state of Syracuse right now. You know, we'll lay it out for you here. We'll listen to it. I on CBB pod. This is what Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish had to say about Jim Boeheim and the future of the head coach and how the fan base should maybe feel about the future of the Syracuse program.
So I remember asking Cuse fans, I don't know, 3 weeks ago on the pod, just kind of wondering aloud if you could have your choice, new coach for next season or ride it out with Boeheim for another 2-3 years, what would you choose? And a few Cuse fans found me after them. They were like, he's going to be the forever legend. Like, you know, but it's about time here. And so I don't know if this is going to accelerate or not. I really don't, but certainly worth noting that the fun joke to make is about how Syracuse is a bubble team that then, you know, gets into the second week and minimally it will take something near biblical at this point. Syracuse is not good. And it's statistically having its worst start ever under Jim Boeheim.
Probably about to finish sixth or worst in the ACC for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th consecutive year. Like, that's not, yeah, that ain't the Syracuse. I know the Syracuse I grew up with didn't even play in this league, but the Syracuse I grew up with wasn't finishing sixth or worst in any league 8 consecutive years. And that's where we are. I've said this before. There's no coach named Jim Boeheim that would get another year. There's no coach not named Jim Boeheim that would get another year after this year at a place like Syracuse. And so that's one where they just got to figure it out. But it seems time. I know it's such a delicate situation, but he's 77 years old and he hasn't coached a really good team in a long time. He's had some teams that have done some really good things in the NCAA tournament in recent years. You know, Sweet 16 last season, Sweet 16 in 2018, Final Four in 2016. But none of those teams were really good. They just, you know, and I guess some people would chalk that up to the zone being a problem for people in the NCAA tournament on short prep and whatever. But he's had some teams that have done – it has totally masked these NCAA tournament runs that the Orange have gone on in recent years. How not great the program has been for a while now. And so, listen, I'll let them figure it out at Syracuse. But, you know, that program is not where it ought to be.
Lots to unpack there. A lot to unpack there. So I think two things sort of stood out to me in that conversation. First one was, any other coach not named Jim Boeheim isn't given this leash. I think he's 100% correct, right? I guess same thing probably at Duke, Carolina with Roy. But like, if that's Kansas, Bill Self's probably getting the axe, right?
Yeah.
I know he's won the national champ, but like, you have to have, and even Roy to a degree probably would get the axe. I actually take that back. I think it's probably Kay and Boeheim. That's about it that could sort of withstand that. And maybe down the road, it could happen with Mark Few or something like that. But that's about it. And to hear that coming from a national landscape, it just kind of gets you thinking like, yeah, Jim Boeheim, he's obviously up there in age. I'm not going to ever say age is a reason why you should stop coaching or be a head coach. I think it works on both ends of the spectrum. I don't think that there should be a minimum age to coach, and I don't think that there should be a maximum age to stop coaching. But it's one of those things where you start to consider some of these things.
Yeah, and shout out to those guys because I think they had a pretty good pulse on the Syracuse situation there for handling things from a national landscape. I was pretty excited just to hear them talk about Syracuse because I like that podcast. I listen most episodes, and they never talk about Syracuse because they haven't been nationally relevant recently, and I don't blame them for talking about them. But unfortunately, the topic of the conversation is kind of a sad one in the state of the program and where it's at. You're right, though. It's a pretty fair sort of summation of where Syracuse is at as a program right now. And I do find it interesting that when I do hear the national perspective right now, and I'm always curious to hear that because you and I are so close to it. We went to the school and we've been around Jim Boeheim and this sort of conversation for a while, but it feels like the national landscape is actually, they should just fire Boeheim. Like when I talk to people that are not tracking it very closely, and I think that's sort of interesting, right? Because, you know, usually the fans of the program would be quicker to that, I think, than the national thought process. Like take a look at Kentucky. When those Kentucky fans start talking about John Calipari should be fired, part of me is like, eh, I don't know about that. Like, I know you're Kentucky and you have high expectations, or a Texas coach in previous years, maybe like a Rick Barnes, the Texas fans like get him out of here. And they just have higher expectations because they're watching their program closely. But I think nationally, like most people are kind of coming around that this is really a strange spot that Syracuse is in.
We should talk to a national guy next week, whether it be like Rob Dowster, our guy, Field of 68, Jeff Goodman. We just, by the way, put out a video on our Twitter account or on our YouTube account of Jeff Goodman kind of rehashing the situation with what the succession plan should look like. But we should have one of them on next week. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Looks like we're going to have another Thursday open. So we should look into that, having one of the national guys, just sort of getting the national perspective for it. But the other thing that I sort of took away there was the, you know, they've gone 8 straight seasons now without finishing better than 6th in the conference. You never saw a Syracuse team go 8 straight seasons without finishing better than 6th in the conference. And yeah, there's the sprinkling of the Final Four, a couple Sweet 16s in there as well. But they've been in the ACC now for 9 years. 8 of 9, you have not finished better than 6th in the conference. And especially these past handful of seasons, the ACC hasn't been the ACC in terms of the competition. Pretty much since Zion, Cam Reddish, and RJ Barrett left the conference, the ACC hasn't been the ACC. And that, I think, is maybe the most disheartening part of it all, is that you've had 3 seasons to really sort of take advantage. Now, they could finish top 6 this year, I think. There's still, that window is certainly open just because of the nature of the conference this year. But again, it's, it just goes back to the ACC hasn't been the ACC, and you're sort of falling ass backwards into a top 6 spot as opposed to maybe really earning it.
Yeah, you take a look at a team like Miami, they went out this year and won their first 5 ACC games because it was ripe for the picking. And I'm not saying that Miami is as good of a program as Syracuse right now, because they've dealt with injuries and they've had a lot of losing seasons since Shane Larkin left, pretty much. But it's been out there. And you think that, you know, 1 or 2 years, Syracuse could have done that. The fact that it's been the same old song and dance every year is a little bit frustrating. The other thing, we sort of cut them short there. They keep talking about Syracuse for another minute or so. And Gary Parrish goes on to talk about how the other thing that's interesting with the situation and makes it complicated is the 2 best players have the last name Boeheim on the team, probably the 2 leading scorers. And he says something to the effect of, if that is the case, if they're taking all the shots, that's fine if they're the best players. But then it becomes the question of, all right, Jim Boeheim, why are the 2 best players at Syracuse your 2 sons, right? Like, why is that what the situation is? Like, it's, if it is true that they should be taking it.
Yeah, it's one thing if it's Buddy, right? Because Buddy has had pedigree. He's gone on a nice tournament run. He's proven he can be an 18, 19 points per night scorer, right? But your second best player shouldn't be Jimmy Boeheim, right? That to me is the biggest problem. And I'm not even saying that Buddy should be the best player in the team. Like, he probably shouldn't, but he should be a really strong two. But if he is your number one, your two should be a lot better than Jimmy Boeheim.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep in mind, when Buddy came to Syracuse, he was not pegged to be a star down the road. And he has gotten a lot better, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. But also, they're not physically in the mold of Syracuse players, quote-unquote, right, of what we're used to in the 2-3 zone. Like, Jimmy Boeheim, watching him play the 2-3 zone, it feels like a chore for him at times. It feels like he's not equipped to be in the forward spot, given the athletic skill set he has.
No doubt. All right. We will get into the poll that we put out here on our Twitter account at @LO_Syracuse. A little would you rather. All right. Would you rather have a new coach next season or 2 to 3 more years of Jim Boeheim? The results may surprise you. We'll also get into some of your comments as well that tie into that. But first, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is that how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after they upgraded to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/locked. Diving into this poll here, would you rather have a new coach next season, and we can dive into what that new coach might look like too, or Jim Boeheim for 2 to 3 more years? Where did you vote on this one?
I think I would vote Boeheim for 2 to 3 more years, but as much as I've always been an advocate, and we got some good Twitter responses here, like take Craig's 13. He said, I understand some of the frustration this season, but everyone is underestimating how rough the post Boeheim transition is going to be. Yep. I've always been on that block that as bad as it is right now, I think it could get even worse once the legend Jim Boeheim leaves this program. And people are probably going to be looking back in 4 or 5 years and saying, man, we were a little spoiled.
We had a good 8th in the ACC.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it has not been good right now. I fully understand that. So as much as I've been on that block, I did find it a little harder to vote this year than normal. And this is probably the closest I've ever been to actually clicking. Maybe, you know what, just rip the Band-Aid off and new coach next year, because that was a response we got from our guy Lee. And he got me thinking. He said a new coach is going to come with growing pains, which I think we have next year anyway. So just rip the Band-Aid off. Like, that argument I can kind of hear a little bit more than in years past.
Yeah. I took Boeheim 2 to 3 more years as well, but I'm kind of teetering on the same line. Is like, given who the candidates are of who would be next at Syracuse, you figure it's guys on staff right now, Red, GMAC, and then Mike Hopkins. Like, I don't think I'm missing any names there. I think it's going to be a pretty limited candidate pool, and I think it's going to be a family hire. I just don't know what the next iteration of Syracuse basketball looks like. It is the great unknown that we're battling with right now. What is a Hop, GMAC, Autry-led Syracuse team going to look like? And I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a good thing. It could be great. Like, it could be Mike Hopkins comes in and starts winning all these recruiting battles in the Northeast. Like,
I don't see Hopkins,
though.
I mean, he's going to get fired this year.
Right, he's going to get fired in all likelihood. I'd have to look at the buyout numbers and all that stuff, but he will still be a candidate to be the next head coach at Syracuse. And, like, listen, they could all of a sudden have revamped recruiting success in the Northeast. Who knows what it'll look like, but it can also go really south. It could be like the last 2 years of Mike Hopkins, Washington. It could be new head coach who is just way too green for the job right now. It can just go in so many different directions right now that you almost feel a little bit more comforted with, okay, you know what you're going to get with Jim Boeheim every single year. But at the same token, knowing what you're going to get with Jim Boeheim every single year right now is not good finishes. Hopefully you're on the bubble, and then boom, you maybe make a splash in the NCAA tournament if you get there.
There's no doubt that the product is very stale with Boeheim. He's probably past his prime. All that I do totally agree with. I think it's tough, though, to make a change after this year. I mean, whenever Jim Boeheim wants to walk away is when he's going to walk away. But if he did it this year, it's hard for me to see them being in a good spot going into next season, considering that the recruiting class you have coming in, one, I'm excited about it, and I would rather keep those guys than if he leaves, they're probably more likely to leave and go to different schools. But also, just from a numbers standpoint, it's five guys coming in, and you kind of need all five of those guys. If not, you're going to be, like, let's say Jim Boeheim.
Damn savvy transfer portal coach. Like, you would need to bring in, like, an Eric Musselman, and that's not happening.
Well, it's not going to happen. So, let's just play it out. Jim Boeheim says right after they lose in the NIT or whatever the hypothetical scenario is, I'm done. Then you'd probably lose one or two of your five recruits. And I think it would help
that if it were a GMAC or a Red, that
which it's going
over.
To be. I mean, I just don't see a world where it's not GMAC or Red at this point. And we've talked about it a little bit, but if it is them, it would help a little. But I still think you're maybe going to lose a couple of those guys. And also a Frank Anselm, if he's not already, would probably enter the portal. Like, other guys might enter the portal as well. And I just don't know if this is the best year to be potentially losing guys, because you kind of need all five of those guys to sort of replenish the cupboard of the Buddy, Jimmy, Cole Swider mix that's probably heading out the door anyway.
The counter to that would be, if it could be rough next year anyway, it may not matter a whole heck of a lot. And you just revamp for 2020, what would that be, 2022? Or 2023,
2023.
Yeah. I don't even have my years right. Are we in 2022 right now? We're in 2022 right now. Yeah. So it'd be the 2023 guys. So you'd have to just revamp there and hopefully have some prowess there. But no, it's certainly an interesting proposition here. So we threw the poll out on our Twitter account at @LO_Syracuse. And it was 50-50. It literally was 50-50 between new coach next year, 2 to 3 more years of Boeheim. And to me, I was surprised by that, especially because when did we tweet? We tweeted this out before the Pitt win, but after the Wake loss. I think it was probably like a Monday. We tweeted out Monday or Sunday.
Yeah.
So here's some of the counterpoints from the other side, from some Twitter accounts. This is from Matt Albrecht. He said, I'd lean towards a new coach next year because it seems like it's time for Jim to retire. I would be fine with giving him one more year, but I'd really prefer he not continue to be the coach for 3 more years. And listen, I get that. And like 2 to 3 years is a long time, especially from a recruiting standpoint too, especially in this pivotal time now in college sports where you're figuring out transfer portal, you're figuring out NIL, how all of that stuff works. And it's probably something where Jim Boeheim may look at it and say, you know what, like, I'm not going to be here at the peak of this stuff, so maybe I don't need to adopt it as heavily.
Yeah. Here's another thing too, that this got me thinking about as kind of a looming question. Now, I don't think this is very likely before I say it, but Is there any chance that this season starts or keeps getting bad and it goes sort of down a wrong path and it's an NIT season and Buddy Boeheim and his dad get to talking and Buddy says, I can't go out like that. I know we said this was going to be my last year, but NIT just leaves a sting in my mouth. The program's not in a good spot. We don't have a lot of talent.
And you're not a guaranteed first round pick by any stretch either.
Oh, he's not getting drafted right now. I mean, it would be, would he leave to go start his professional career overseas or start the G League circuit type deal this year, which he's stated all along that has been his intention. He's been pretty clear about that. And so is his dad, but he's making some money from NIL. Now he's not making a lot. I know.
Well, I'd say this, I don't have the financials of what he's making right now. I'm guessing he'd make more as a Syracuse player than a G League player.
I don't know.
You do realize how small those G League salaries are? They're like 25,000, 28,000.
If you were to play overseas, you would make more.
If you were
more
to play overseas, you'd make more, NIL but stuff. It would be, would you rather go overseas or would you rather try to get to the NBA? Because at the end of the day, the G League is the quickest ticket to the
And
the
he doesn't
NBA
need money either.
Right. That's no, it's not like he's hurting for money. Yeah. 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 No, you're right.
Right.
On that.
But I do think maybe there's a slim chance. I never thought it going into the season, but obviously they did not envision this season being an NIT season when Buddy set out and said, you know what, I'm going to leave after and I'm going to consider the NBA. And it's not looking like NBA is going to be at least a drafted thing right now. I mean, he's not on mock drafts.
Right. Yeah, I Goody even hint at it. Remember when we used to have Goody on all the time when he was the Syracuse beat reporter? He said, like, don't be surprised if maybe he thinks about it.
And I disagreed then, and I'm just throwing it out now, saying it's pretty unlikely, but I think it's maybe slightly more likely based on how the season has gone.
Yeah. Here's another reply I want to get to. This is from Ben There, Done That. I'm tired of mediocrity for a top 10 all-time school. We haven't been relevant since 2013. We can be a bubble team to make a 2-3 game run in the tournament every few years, but nothing has changed. Don't use the bench, iso ball and crunch time, and no true point guard or offensive center. And that's kind of the crux of it right now is I wouldn't even say you don't have a true point guard. You just haven't retained a true point guard. And that's the problem. And like, it looks like you might finally have an offensive center now with Jesse playing the way that he is. But at the end of the day, this is a guards game. Like, guards win in college basketball. And if you look at the guards Syracuse has had over the past couple of seasons, you don't see all ACC guys. And that's what you need if you want to win at the highest level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd also say Michael had a good response here from sort of the other vantage point. Do people realize that things won't get better right away after firing Boeheim? The assistant coaches will run the same offense and defense that Boeheim ran because that is all they know. Boeheim for a few more years is what he picked based on that. I think yes and no to that. I feel he's on to something where they're probably going to start running the 2-3 zone and they're probably not going to have this great depth of offensive knowledge, but maybe Jerry McNamara will play 10 guys if he's a starting. Like, we don't really know how much he's going to deviate, but I do think it's a good point that, like, he learned under Jim Boeheim. And if you want to get rid of Jim Boeheim, in all likelihood, I would like to see them hire outside the family, but I feel like it's probably 95% that it's GMAC or Red right now. And I would even like Mike Hopkins, I would give like a 2% chance at this point based on his track record at Washington.
I still think Hop isn't as low of a chance as you're giving it, just because let's remember, all right, Jim Boeheim did pick the successor once upon a time, and his pick was Mike Hopkins. Even though he went out and has failed, it's not like we haven't seen coaches fail somewhere and then find success in another spot. Just because the fact that Jim Boeheim is going to have some sort of say, what degree of say is yet to be seen. But it's probably going to be a K-level say in terms of amount of power. And that's like near carte blanche in terms of 100% picking of the next guy. Basically, it's just going to be Wildhack has to sign off on it, I'd imagine. But let's not forget the pick was Hopkins once upon a time. So I still think that would give it more than the 2% that you're giving it. But, in terms of what you brought up there from Michael's, perspective, I would say a younger coach too might be apt to change a little bit just because they've seen the way basketball is and they're a little bit more connected to it. I wouldn't say they're going to go out and strictly run a 2-3 zone. I don't think that is going to be, I don't think you're going to see an 100% 2-3 zone out of Syracuse moving forward. Yeah. I would guess there's going to be some sort of mix.
Look at Hubert Davis too. He is still quote unquote doing the Carolina way, but they're not rebounding like they used to. They're not using two big lineups and they're shooting the three way more than they ever have when they were under Roy Williams. So he's deviated a little bit, and that was an in-family hire, where now UNC is playing a more perimeter-based game where they have a stretch four and a stretch five and not exactly bully ball down low. They still have an Armando Bacot, and they still have the ability to crash the glass, but their rebounding numbers have dipped and their three-pointing numbers have risen.
Yeah, it's not going to be a strict carbon copy from one gen to the next. There will be some tweaks to it. So for anyone in fear of, oh, you're just going to hire GMAC or Red, it's going to be the same thing. I wouldn't agree with that wholeheartedly. All right, we will get into some football stuff. Haven't talked football in a while. We're going to talk about Dan Villari, the new Syracuse quarterback. We'll dive into him coming over from Michigan in just a second. But hey, Syracuse fans, we've got an incredible app for everyone who buys gas and what they need to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. So just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. And the best part is there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account, and you can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents gallon per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE for up to 50 cents gallon per gallon cash back on your first tank.
BetOnline would like to wish you guys a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. All one word gets you that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at BetOnline. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, let's talk a little football here because we haven't gotten into a lot of the gridiron stuff. We haven't really talked about Jason Beck and Robert and I, but they are coming over. It's official. And they're also bringing a quarterback in. It's Michigan's Dan Villari, who played high school ball in Long Island and never really saw the field at Michigan. He was sort of a third, fourth string guy with the Wolverines. Now, I'll say this about Villari. He was once upon a time an FCS commit, and then Michigan sort of came in late. They needed a quarterback. One of their commits had a heart condition, which at the time ended his career, J.D. Johnson. He's now back playing, actually. And then Michigan missed out on C.J. Stroud, who, of course, went on to Ohio State and is a Heisman contender and will be a Heisman contender for years to come. So they offered Dan Villari sort of late in the cycle so they could get a quarterback in. And now he kind of sees the writing on the wall, like, okay, there's a five-star in front of me. There's a couple other guys in front of me. I'm probably not going to play. I'm going to enter the transfer portal. And he ends up at Syracuse.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a Michigan starting quarterback. Right. It's a little flashier than it sounds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, let's remember, I think it was Fordham he initially committed to. Like, that's what we're working with here. It is a one-time FCS commit who went to Michigan. And again, Michigan's one of those flashy programs too, right? Like, they play in the big house. It's Power Five football. You're on Fox. You got the big noon kickoffs. It's a Jordan brand school too. So all that stuff sort of, if you get a Michigan offer, it's tough to turn down, especially when some of your other offers are Fordham and a couple other FCS schools.
And it sounds like he was kind of hoping for a Syracuse offer the first time around, and it never came. He had offers from Buffalo, Albany, UMass, Kent State. He's pretty similar to Garrett Schrader, honestly. 6'4", 235, dual threat type of guy. And I think it's interesting that they went with a dual threat. They definitely needed to add a quarterback in this cycle, whether it was a 2022 recruit or just a transfer portal guy here. And he has 4 years of eligibility left, so he could be along for a good chunk of time here and maybe take over once Schrader leaves. But I think he does provide some competition this year. It's also interesting that it's a dual threat guy, because I think it'll make things easier for Syracuse that they don't have two separate playbooks for their top two quarterbacks like they did last year. And when Tommy DeVito is practicing, you throw out the different play. It's just going to make things a little more digestible probably. And that's what Syracuse needs to do this year, where they hire offensive-minded, like a really good quarterback coach in Jason Beck and Robert and I, they know the game plan is we want a dual threat guy and we want to lean into Sean Tucker because they don't have great receivers and they have a good amount of their offensive line coming back. And also dual threat quarterbacks have just been better under Dino Babers than the alternative.
Right. And on top of that too, your other notable quarterback in the room that's going to be vying for some snaps is Justin Lampson. He's also a dual threat guy. So yeah, let's keep it consistent across the board right now in terms of what kind of playbook we're throwing out there. So here's what I saw in again, it's very limited film with a guy like Villari, but great frame, 6'4", 235. Like, that'll play, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what school you're at. Solid throwing motion, certainly better than Garrett Schrader's from what I've seen, but a much different runner. He's not nearly as fast as Garrett. I think I saw his 40 times 5 seconds. So he's not going to beat you blazing. He's going to try to run over you as opposed to outrun you down the field. But you just need to put in competition of throwing the football, because if you can throw the football, you're going to add a completely different dimension to this offense. Last year, obviously the running game is going to be great, but you don't necessarily need a running quarterback if you've got a back like Sean Tucker.
Yeah, I think it's what they have right now, so they're going to ride with it. But you know, they have what I would say, and I'm not, this isn't hyperbole in my mind, they have one of the best quarterback coaches in the country now, I think, in Jason Beck. And he has had success with Taysom Hill, along with Robert and I, those two working together, helping out a Taysom Hill, helping out the Virginia quarterbacks who weren't known as pocket passers, and developing their arm strength, their arm mechanics, their throwing. That's what Garrett Schrader really needs. Villari, I agree, probably has a better motion right now, but that's still the weakness of his game. So I'm optimistic. I think I tweeted something like football is trending. I do think that since there was a max exodus into the transfer portal and we kind of hit like a rock bottom stage and everyone wanted Dino gone, they've done a nice job from that point on hiring a special teams coach, which they needed, getting two really solid offensive minded guys here that have a good track record in a nine and back. And then starting to sort of bring in some decent pieces here. It's not going to be a 8-9 win team next year, I don't think, but I think they will make a bowl game based on what they've done here in the offseason.
Yeah, you have to bolster the offensive line, which has started to be addressed a little bit, and you have to improve the receiving options right now, because there's not anyone on the roster that is just blowing you away from a receiving standpoint. I saw that there's a Michigan State kid, I believe his name's CJ Dyson, who is taking a visit to Syracuse soon. And for those, there's a lot of people saying, oh, like the next Tristan Jackson, slow your roll a little bit. All right. Tristan Jackson was a top 250 kid in his class. Okay.
Yeah.
This kid was like outside the top 1200 that's coming to take a visit. But again, you just want to get some bodies in the room, because right now it's wholly unimpressive what you have in the offensive line and as well as in the receiving room. It needs to be bolstered from a year ago, or otherwise you're just going to be running back the same thing that you had last year. Great running back, great running game in general. But if you're down two scores at any point, you don't feel very good about your prospects of getting back into the game.
Yeah. I think I saw that Sherrod Johnson, Adrian Cole, Latiri Kinsler, all are going to FIU. That was announced recently. And
I kept trying to find the link there. Like, is there a Syracuse coach there? No Syracuse coach. I think they're all Florida guys though. So
yeah. Well, it's a new coach, that McIntyre guy, who's just, I mean, every day I see three or four guys in the transfer portal going down to FIU. So maybe he's just a solid recruiter in general. I don't really know. I mean, they were sort of Florida guys. I think Kinsler in his case in high school, he was, but I think at this stage, when you're evaluating what you have, if you're the Syracuse coaches, you're saying, okay, we do need to bolster what we have in the wide receiver room, and they should actively pursue that. But there's never going to be a point where wide receiver is going to be a strength realistically. So you say, okay, let's just lean into what we've got, which is a running quarterback and an All-American running back and an offensive line that's coming back.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. And another thing with Villari too, I do think this is a low risk ad as well, just because of the fact that, listen, he may not start for you a quarterback, but you can find places to get him in on the field. Like, he ran special teams with Michigan. And One of the things that he was also a safety in high school too, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Rex Culpepper a little bit, where, okay, there's some positional flexibility here, and everyone throws the name Taysom Hill. Well, one of the things that makes Taysom Hill so unique is that he's a Swiss Army knife. I'm not saying that Vilari is going to go out there and catch passes, all right? I don't think that's going to happen. But if you could, if he ends up being the third string quarterback heading into this season, there's still opportunity for him to do something on your team, whether it be special teams, or something of that nature. And I think that stuff's important because we have seen special teams look undisciplined at times. Then you're finally getting a special teams coordinator in there. Like,
yeah,
that stuff matters. And I think that's a good thing. So this is a low risk ad for me. I don't think Vilari will ever end up starting a game at Syracuse. I could be wrong. But yeah, it just shows that they're investing in this quarterback position heavily this year between bringing in the new offensive staff, including a quarterback coach, and going out and getting a transfer. And it just kind of shows that I think Dino knows he can't mess around this year. You need to have a quality passing game, or otherwise this is it. This is the end of the road.
Yeah, Schrader's got two more years. So after him, it will probably be Vilari, Lampson, Morgan, if all goes according to plan and they're still there and take your, there'll be a real competition at that point. I think Vilari is going to go there and be a competitive guy and hope that he can at some point unseat Garrett Schrader. But I would say it's more likely that Garrett Schrader starts and ends the season next year than any of the other alternatives.
Yeah. I will say this. I would like to see a true competition this year.
Yeah.
And that includes Justin Lampson, because I think he could be a valuable piece. I think he's sort of the best of both worlds, where he's probably got better arm talent than both of those guys. He's probably not quite the runner, but I don't think you need to be quite the runner when you've got Sean Tucker on your left hip. I really don't. And again, you just have to be serviceable enough to be a threat. And he's a big dude. He can be a little bit of a bruiser in the red zone for you. I would like to see Justin Lampson get a real shot this year. He obviously didn't get a real shot last year. Don't blame him. You had two other guys, former top 50, 300 guys in the room. I don't blame them for not necessarily giving him a real quote unquote shot, but this year I'd like to see it. I'm not fully sold on Schrader. I don't know how anyone who saw last season play out can be fully sold on Garrett Schrader.
No doubt. It is funny that everything's just so crazy how quickly it changes, because 2 years ago, we would have thought, all right, Tommy DeVito's our quarterback for a while. Then we hand the keys to like Dylan Markowitz, maybe Jacoby and Morton. Now we're looking at the top two in our quarterback room, or two transfers.
You can't guess who's going to be the Syracuse quarterback this year, next year, or the year after that.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully Justin Lampson stays around, because he's the only one really, well, Morgan too, that we've recruited and sort of had a plan all along in place. But, you know, I'm all for keeping active in the transfer portal, and I think it's important that they did add someone. He's basically like a 2022 recruit. He's got 4 years of eligibility,
yeah,
and we'll see if he cracks the field this year or next year. But I think long-term, he at least has in his head, maybe I'll be the 2024 guy.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. We'll be back tomorrow diving into Florida State, because it's a big one this weekend. Chance to string together a winning streak for the Orange. We will do that on tomorrow's show. We thank you for listening and making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single day. Subscribe to us, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey app, all that fun stuff. And follow us on Twitter @LO_Syracuse. We will talk Florida State with you tomorrow.